It used to be that if a woman suffered a miscarriage, it just wasn't something you talked about, especially not in a public way. But today, that's changing. October was Infant Loss and Miscarriage Awareness Month, and October 15th, a day of remembrance for those who have been lost. Throughout the month, I saw family and friends tell their stories on social media, many of whom I didn't know had experienced anything like this. So what made them come forward? For Kalila Martinez, it was her own need for release that motivated her to share that day. A few years ago, she became pregnant with her second child, but had a miscarriage pretty early on. Then just last summer, she lost another child, this time on the day he was born. I sat down with her recently to talk more about her own experience and why she thinks so many more women are willing to talk about infant loss than ever before. And we began by talking about that miscarriage. Afterwards, she said it changed her understanding of trying to conceive.
I don't know that I necessarily experienced it as like so difficult, but just as an important part of what to expect when trying to conceive.
Yeah.
It was definitely months as I was experiencing sadness and wondering if I could get pregnant again and still mothering my child who was over one at the time, mm-hmm. who had just turned one actually.
Yeah. So you tried again after that? How long did it take before you were ready?
By the spring. I was ready. I finally downloaded one of those apps that tracks your ovulation, and I was really focused on it. I really wanted to be purposeful. Just, I think, actually, that was as a result of the miscarriage, wanting to be able to control it in some way mm-hmm. and kind of have a better idea what my body was going through. And then, again, at the end of the year, I got pregnant and had a lot of emotions that I didn't have in my first pregnancy. The first 8 or 9 weeks were really scary and difficult. It was regularly a concern that I would voice, and also my husband just being trusting that the pregnancy would, you know, carry through to term.
Yeah.
But once I passed the 20 weeks and I got the ultrasound and I found out I was having another little boy, and I was so, so happy.
You felt like you were in a safe zone then?
Yeah. Yes. And being over 35, there's a different standard of care than for under 35. So there were tests that were offered to me that I didn't talk to my husband, and we decided that we weren't going to take them, blood tests, ultrasound tests, because we thought we understood the consequence of not taking the tests.
These are tests for like genetic
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Yeah. And then once the 35 weeks marker passes, it's also anatomy and kind of seeing how the baby is growing and amniotic fluid levels and the heartbeat and all of those things that they can see through an ultrasound and a non-stress test.
Yeah.
And I reached 35 weeks, and every time I went in, we heard the heartbeat, and we thought, that is exactly what we need to hear. So I reached 38 weeks and one day, and I had been having some contractions for a day or two. When I knew I was in labor on the day my son was born, I thought, great, let's do it. I know what I need to do. We had the bag packed, which we didn't on my first pregnancy. And my son was going to be with us. So we arrived at the birth center, and my sister and my sister-in-law were there to help with my son. And I have very fast labors. So I arrived early in the morning around 8:30, and I was only in labor for an hour before delivering my son, my second son, my youngest. And when they put him on my chest, he wasn't breathing. They were rubbing his back, and it's not very much time. Obviously the child needs to breathe, and they need to cry. That's what everybody's waiting for. He never cried, and it was probably only a couple of seconds. But in my mind, in my memory, it really seems like quite a bit of time when I was holding him. This is the only time I got to hold him when he was living.
Waiting for him to cry.
Mm-hmm. The midwives immediately went into action. They cut the umbilical cord, and they started pumping his heart and using the bag to breathe for him. And the ambulance was called, and he was taken to the hospital in emergency. And he only lived for half an hour before he passed away at the hospital. And it was completely unexpected because I had a very healthy pregnancy. Not only did the baby show signs of health, but I was healthy. Mm-hmm. And yet he passed away.
So I mean, I don't even know if you can remember what your mind was thinking at that moment, but when did you realize that he wasn't there anymore?
I definitely thought when he went to the hospital that things would be okay, because mm-hmm. that's what hospitals are for. They're for making people okay. My husband went in the ambulance, and I really can't imagine his experience being in the ambulance and in the emergency room and seeing everybody work on him. I stayed at the birth center. I had just given birth. I guess I realized it when my midwife told me that he didn't make it and that he had passed away. And I don't know what's common. I remember thinking that I understood, but not being able to say anything. I remember thinking, okay, Kalila, you have to say something. You have to do something. You have to go somewhere. You can't just lie here. You got to get up and do something. But again, it was one of those times where I felt like it might have not a lot of time had passed, but my experience of time was much slower.
Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps the fact that I had to get up and get myself ready and get in the car and drive to the hospital, accepting that reality that I would, that he had passed away. When I got to the hospital, there's a room for families. My husband was in there with our son and holding him was really strange, because he definitely wasn't living, but he was so perfect and so beautiful. I'm saying all of this to try to explain when I realized that he was gone, and it took an immensely long time because he looked healthy, and I had just experienced the labor, and he had a heartbeat the whole way through, and I remember holding him and how warm he was. Those are the memories that I still have.
Did you name him?
Yes, yeah. His name is Ahmed.
So, it wasn't long after that then that it was October, and it's this Infant Loss Awareness Month mm-hmm. and Day of Remembrance on the 15th. And what made you decide to share about that experience, and how did you initially tell people about this?
So on October 15th, my sister sent me an email about this movement or timing, Wave of Light, lighting a candle at 7 in your front window and burning it for an hour in remembrance of your child that had passed. It's such a simple thing to do. Living in a family that has experienced loss, simple things seem really hard sometimes, and hard things are very difficult. So I could find a candle and light it and put it in my front window, and I could do that for an hour. And I thought, I really like that. But as the 15th got closer, I had another friend who, just a month after my son passed away, they experienced a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm not the only one. Our family is not the only family that has experienced loss or is experiencing it. And initially, I just wanted to post something really simple on my social media, like, light a candle at 7, you know, remember your little one. But as the time got closer, I started thinking about how my youngest, Ahmed, looked just like my oldest when he was born. And so I wondered, at this time he would have been almost 2 months old, what would he look like at 2 months? So I started looking back at all my photos from my oldest son. I found a picture of when he was 2 months old. He was so beautiful. And I posted that photo. I think the most, definitely, the most powerful response I got was from a friend who I just know, she's an acquaintance, friend of a friend, and she thanked me for posting, and she said that she had recently experienced a miscarriage, and that reading about it on Facebook was a remembrance for her of how hard it was, but how, just thank you. Thank you for sharing your story, because I experienced that. In a way, it was like a connection.
You got some reaction to this, but I wonder just lastly, why you think this is something that is kind of okay to talk about now? Like, it's traditionally been something that's so taboo, like we just keep it private, we don't talk about these things in public. Why do you think that's shifting?
I really wish these conversations were had more in person, but whether it's through social media or through just texts to a friend and little emojis or really face-to-face conversations, there's not only a platform for it like that exists out there, but I think our hearts are more open to it, especially in my community as women, sharing about what happened, pregnancy and celebrating that, and then the loss of it. I mean, it's important to acknowledge that reality and not just brush it under the carpet.
Khalila Martinez, thank you so much for telling us your story.
My goodness, thank you.